Nehemiah chapter number 1. I do appreciate the day that the Lord saved me, and I sure am glad that it's my time to preach. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord Jesus and His goodness and His mercy. Nehemiah chapter number 1. If you're there this morning, say amen. Well, that means some of you didn't get there yet. If you're there now, say amen. Amen. If you're glad you come to church, say amen. Amen. The Bible said the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month of Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, they're in great affliction, and they're in reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Came to pass when I heard these words, it did something to me. I sat down and I wept and I mourned. Certain days, and we don't know much about this Bible word, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You may be seated this morning. Father, I come to you today, Lord, as a vessel. I pray you'd empty me of myself. I pray you'd forgive me, Lord, of where I failed you. Pray you'd remove all sin from me. I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. You'd give me words, God, that our church needs to hear this morning. I'm glad you are a God. I'm glad that we know where you are. We're glad we can pray to you. I ask you to let preaching be easy now. You'd do a work by the Holy Ghost that only the Holy Ghost can do. Thank you for encouraging my heart this morning. Help us now touch the people, and we'll be careful to honor you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I want to preach on this topic today on what a need to be a Nehemiah. What a need to be a Nehemiah. Now, a little background. I'd preached from this the other night, but I'm going in a little different direction this morning. My thought on what a need to be a Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a leader. As I've already said today, I don't want to be repetitious, but I want to say most churches are not looking for a leader. They're looking for a puppet. They're looking for somebody that they can control and say, now, preacher, we want you to be here, but don't upset nobody. We're afraid you run the crowd off. And we're afraid that our building payment will get so high that you'll start preaching. We won't have enough money to pay the bills. But I done found out what Nehemiah found out. There is a God in heaven. And so I'm glad I know who He is, and I'm glad I know where He is. And I sure am glad He knows where I am this morning. But Nehemiah had got some words back from the homeland. Nehemiah had been taken away captivity as a little boy. Nehemiah had been raised up in the kingdom. He was the king's cupbearer. He was the closest one to the king. The king entrusted Nehemiah closer than anybody in his court. For before he drank anything, Nehemiah approved of it first and handed it to the king. He was the king's sampler, if you so please. People would try to poison the king, but he was the go-between between the people and the king. I'm glad God has put somebody in my life on a cross that was a go-between between the people and the king. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he tasted the cup of death for me. I'm glad that he drank of the bitter cup that I may approach the king. And so certainly we find in this passage, Nehemiah is close to the king. One of his brethren came back from the homeland. So you can understand, let's say that I had been taken captive from Bowdoin, Georgia. Now I was in the king's house. I had a great job. Brother Tim came to visit me. I'd been gone for a long time. And I asked Brother Tim, I said, "Brother Tim, how is things back at the church? How is things back where I live?" And he said, "Hadn't you heard?" He said, "The walls are broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. God's people are in great distress and great reproach." I wonder, has anybody got that message? I wonder, has anybody got that text, or is anybody got that email that it is a bad day in which we live? I want to say we have a president that has approved same-sex marriage. I want to say that we have a president that's leading our country into socialism. We have a president that has no idea of where we stand today as the people of God. I wonder, have you heard what they're doing to your children in the schoolhouse? Now in the science books, they've approved Darwin's theory to be implemented. Have you heard that the school teachers no more can say that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? I wonder, have you heard what's going on with our little ones? Wonder, have you heard in our country where some 55 million babies have been aborted? You wonder why there be no Social Security? Well, on the money side, you take 55 million out of things from working and not paying things, there'll be nothing there. But I don't put a value on life. Can I tell you that murder is wrong and sin is still wrong in the eyes of the Lord? I remember a preacher in North Carolina not long ago. Somebody in his church, he was preaching in a big way. They took a picture, a video of him, and sent it to YouTube. They only took out what they wanted to hear. They didn't hear the whole message about the love of Christ and the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. They put him on national TV, and now his wife can't even go to the mailbox to get their paper. I don't know if you've gotten the message or not, but it is a cruel time and a hard time in America. But I want to remind you, this is not the first time that God's people has ever faced a crisis. This is not the first time that God's people has ever been against difficult times. For there's always been a devil, and there's always been sin, and there's always been responsibility of men. But my friends, we are in uncharted waters in the day that we live. I look around as our seniors here today. I thank God that some of them have stepped on the battlefields. They've dug in a foxhole and they've stood for what's right in this country. They've stood that we may have the freedom of speech. They've stood that we may have the right to own a gun. Somebody say amen. They stood for the right that we could come to a church and preach out of a King James Bible. But my friend, this generation that's coming along today, it scares me to think these boys that can't even keep their britches up would be called to a foreign battlefield to fight for the freedom and the rights of our people. Can I tell you, has it ever been a time that our country is in a mess? It's in a mess this morning. But can I tell you that God is a God that can fix a mess up? Aren't you glad it's not took God by surprise? I want to say our country's in a mess. And I want to say, secondly, our churches are at an all-time low. I realize we're in a church at Liberty Baptist that's growing and that's going for the glory of God. And I appreciate that about the good Holy Ghost. I'm glad I'm in a church where you can still preach without apologetics. And I'm glad I'm in a church where the deacons report to the man of God and the man of God don't report to the deacons. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad I'm still in a church where I ain't got to check in with somebody to see if I offended somebody and if I can come back to the house of God. Can I tell you, we live in a day where they don't look down at the floor. Now, you help me preach a while. You've done your work this week and paid your tithes. Let me do my work now and pay my tithe. I'm telling you today, friend, we're in uncharted water in our churches. We live in a time where the King James Bible is a foreign policy in the Baptist church. Can I tell you what was good for Grandpa? It's good for our babies this morning. And the way our forefathers worshiped Him is good enough for me. And can I tell you, the same Jesus that hung on a cross that our grandparents would raise their hand to, it's worthy for this generation to raise their hand to. Can I tell you, our churches are at an all-time low. Churches don't want nobody in leadership. They don't want many men with guts. They don't want many men with their guns loaded to get behind a door and get on their knees and pray and say, God, give me something for the people. God, give me something for me. Can I tell you, I got to get something for me before I can get something to you. I'm glad I serve a God today. Hey, that's not taking Him by surprise. I'm glad He still loves sinners. I'm glad He hung on an old rugged cross and died for the sins of this world. You say, preacher, did He die for me? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. He died for you and He died for me. And if you die and go to hell in your sins, you'll go as an intruder. You'll go over by the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad that He still saves those sinners this morning. Now, it was a difficult time back home. But I want to say, what a need to be a Nehemiah. What a burden he carried. You know, I want to say, America don't blush no more. The things that we used to turn our head to and blush, we seem to smile and be a part. I'm going to tell you what's happened to America. It's like the boiling frog syndrome. We started turning the heat up. You put a frog in a pot. You can finally turn the heat up on him till it boils and then to kill him. But if you throw him in the boiling water, he'll bounce out. You know what's happened to America? Boy, it's just been turned up, and now we're living in a day where it says socialism and nothing's wrong anymore. Let me tell you, young people, shacking up's still wrong and drinking's still wrong. Hey, adultery's still wrong today. You say, well, you can't build a church preaching the way you're preaching. Well, I don't know nothing to do but do what God's called me to do, Brother Mike. Brother David, I don't know how to soft soap anything. And I know He chose the foolishness of preaching. I know He didn't choose foolish preaching. But I'm going to tell you, honey, there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. And sin will take you places you don't want to go to. And to keep you a lot longer than you can pay your way out of them places. And I'm going to tell you, right is still right and wrong is still wrong in the day and hour that we live. We preach here without apologies. We worship God without apologies. And I'm not up a crowing on a throne because I know I can be shot down real quick. But I'm going to tell you, while I've got my 30 minutes or 45 or an hour, hour 15 on the platform, I'm going to tell you what I believe what this book says. I believe there's still a God in heaven that can fix things in this world, can fix things in your life and my life. It will just get a burden and bow down and say, Lord, first of all, get the sin out of my life. I want you to notice the prayer that he prayed. He said, Lord, he said, I sat down and wept. Then he said, I beseech thee in verse 5, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant for mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandment. He said, let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open. Thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, I pray, before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Now it's easy for me to tell you you've sinned. But I better be looking what's down in here today. First of all, he confessed his own sin. Can I tell you, there's nobody in here that's righteous except by the blood of Jesus. There are no good people. No. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to live good and see if I can get to heaven. That kind of doctrine will put you in hell. You got to be born again by the grace of God. We've got a fallen nature from Adam's bloodline, and we got to be saved, born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his this morning. You don't get saved by joining a church or being baptized. You get saved by the grace of God, believing what He done for you on an old rugged cross, and He took your place. And you turn to Him and repent of your sin and believe upon bloody Calvary, and He'll save you by the grace of God. Now, by way of outline today, I want to say, first of all, the facts that are presenting Him. I think we can look around and see a lot of facts going on today. I came up under preachers, Brother Monroe Wiggins, Brother Elmer Cason, Brother Mays Jackson, Brother Edgar Thomas. I come up under that old bloodline of preachers that said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I come up under that old bloodline of preachers that preach what this book says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Young people, I wished I had 3 hours to preach, but you can watch a 3-hour TV show. But if I preach over 30 minutes, you think I'm long-winded. Well, I tell you what I think about your TV. Then I'll keep them to myself. You keep that to you. But I'm saying this morning, friend, I believe what them old men of God is saying has come to pass. In the last days, perilous times shall come, and we're living among them. I'm glad we still got some young people that likes preaching. The facts that are presenting Him. Boy, it hurt Him. He sat down and He mourned and He wept. When's the last time you wept over your grandbabies? I got 3 here this morning. Just think. When I leave off the scene, when you leave out what our grandbabies are going to face in this world. Young people, you need a church where you can raise your babies that's still preaching the old, old story and's got the old standards and standing on what's right. Young couples, you got to have a church in your life. Older couples, you've got to have a church in your life. The facts that were presenting Him. But I want you to notice in chapter number 2, the focus that was productive to Him. He said in chapter number 2 of Nehemiah, and he said in verse number 11, so I came to Jerusalem. I went down there to see it for myself. And I was there 3 days. And I rose in the night. You know, I happen to think about something right there. Am I doing okay on preaching? I happen to think if my grandpa was to come back to life, I dreamed about him last night. I got to thinking if he was to come back to life, stay here 3 days, what he'd think. He said, I was there 3 days. I went back. He said, talking about a focus that was productive to him. You see, I rose in the night. Look what it said. I and some few men with me. It don't take many. He didn't have a big crowd with him. You know, I found out there's a lot of people farming, but it ain't many with me. Matter of fact, I doubt if it ain't many here that ain't farming. You'd be sort of goofy to sit in the church. You wouldn't for the preacher. Amen. But I love folks with me that'll pray with me, cry with me. Are you with me? I heard a lot of people say, well, I'm behind you. But you need a pair of binoculars to see how far they are. Appreciate our people this morning. The focus that was productive, he went and looked, and he said, there's a few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had, look here, put in my heart to do it to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something, preachers. You better not do nothing unless it's in your heart. You that's going to church here, if it ain't in your heart, you better be begging God to put it in your heart, because if it ain't in your heart, you're going to get knocked out. We need God to put something in our heart. Can I say something right quick while it's on my mind? Now listen, I'm dangerous this morning. I've been in that book a long time this week. I noticed something. So I'm going to bring that sermon into this sermon. You remember when David killed the giant, Brother Joe? 1 Samuel 17. Before that, the Bible said an evil spirit had come on Saul, and David played the harp and encouraged him. David came from the battlefield. Three of his brethren was with Saul. Saul said, whose stripling is this? They said, it's David. They said, if the man kills a giant, he can get my daughter. David killed the giant. 1 Samuel 17. David cut his head off. I like them kind of preachers. He stuck his fingers in his nose and one in his mouth like a bowling ball. Some of y'all know more about the bowling alley than you do church, so I'll tell you about it. And he is toting his head around the camp. And this is what Saul said. Whose stripling is that? I just killed the giant and you don't know me? I played a good song for you and you forgot about me? Now this is where I'm at. David had it in his heart. He didn't care who knowed him, but he knowed him. You know what some of you need to do? You need to get it in your heart. Just because somebody's forgot about the song you sung to them, and just because somebody's forgot that you're a giant killer, you better put in your heart that you're doing it for God. Lord, my God, that's good preaching, Brother Gerald. Y'all look it up in 1 Samuel 17. He done come in with a head in his hand, and Saul said, who's that? You know what Abner said, the king of the host? I don't know who he is. Boy, that hurt our feelings, wasn't it? Man, I've given all this money. I built this wing. I built the chapel. I bought that window. I bought that shelter. Y'all don't know who I am? No, but I know who he is. No, I don't know. Somebody may forget you, but he ain't got you. God done put something in his heart. David wasn't looking at people. And his feelings wouldn't hurt because somebody wasn't bragging. I know some Baptists. If you don't pump and prime them and put them on a stage and congratulate, what are you here for? Somebody sent me word, said they wasn't coming down here no more because I wouldn't recognize them. Let me tell you who I'm going to recognize at this church. Am I okay right now? Is it okay that I teach your children where to worship Him in spirit? And this thing ain't about us. It's about giving doctrine to kids that know where they stand in the Bible. Giving mom and daddy something to hold on to. Y'all young'uns holding hands. Throw your hands. Show people what you're doing. See, that's what you... Throw your hands on up. I'm proud of you. Sitting there holding hands when the man of God's preaching. That's where we all ought to be. We ought to have stuff in our heart and say, "Dear God, just because ain't nobody knows me, I'm glad you know me, and I'm here for the right reason." You know what David said in his response? He said, "I am the son of Jesse." He didn't say, "I'm David, the harp player. I'm David, the slingshot thrower specialist." He said, "I'm the son of my father, Jesse." Oh, I'm glad I know who my daddy is. And I'm glad I know where my daddy lives. Oh, Lord. Lord, I know that ain't helped nobody, but I just got to sit down. That's helped me so good. That's just helped me so much. He said, "Who are you?" Well, I done played a song and encouraged you. You don't remember when I played you the song? I carried all of you some bread and cheese. You don't remember when I parked my chariot and left them sheep come up there and brought you stuff to bow? You don't remember me? I reached down in the stone and got a rock. You don't remember me? I'm the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Boy, I know a big rabbit got up, but I'm glad he got up. Does that make sense to anybody? Brother Driver, God had put something in his heart. You know what's kept you all these years? There's something God put in your heart. If it's in your mind, the devil will get it out of your mind. But if it's down in there, he can't get it. He can get it here. He gets it there all the time. But Brother David, he can't get it there. Brother David, how many times has the devil perched on mine and your shoulder? But boy, he couldn't ever get what's down in there. Brother Tim, you get up and lead the choir. It ain't many in the choir. Boy, he'll get here. But he can't. He can't get in there. God had put something in his heart. Young kids, you don't need it here. You need it here. They try to tell you a lie. You don't need it here. They mess with this. They can't mess with that. God put it in here. Put it in here. If our church, we got it here. But I don't know how much we got in here. Y'all believe this Bible? Y'all believe God can do things? Y'all one of the most mission-minded churches in the Southeast. 50 missionaries. 36, 37 in Macedonia. 10, 11 in-house. Nearly 50 missionaries. Take care of your preacher like hardly no other church does, and his wife. Y'all got it here. What's here? What's in here? You see, facts presenting the focus that was productive. He went by night. It's dark. He reviewed the past so he could face the future. I want you to look what he done. Look what he done, verse number 18. Verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the stress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, we be no more reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me. It's also the king's words that it might be spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Do you believe this is a good work? If you believe this is a good work, you ought to attend it. I'm glad we're fixing how to pull benches out of there and put in the new wing. Look what he says. Let us rise up and build so they strengthen their hands for this good work. Chapter 2, 18. If you believe this is good work, you ought to attend it. And you ought to accept responsibility for it. And you ought to appropriate your giving to it. You say, well, you want them preachers to preach on money. It's part of it in the Bible. And I can tell you this, and you can rest assured of this, today I'm not a hireling. I can't be bought. You look around, this don't run on love offerings. You may not be in love next Sunday. Pay your tithes. Somebody said on a bumper sticker, honk your horn if you love Jesus. Hog wild. Anybody can honk a horn tithe. Am I all right? I mean, anybody can honk their horn. You know, his focus was productive. He went by night. It's wise to direct your anger towards problems, not people. To focus your energies on answers, not excuses. If you believe it's a good work, you ought to attend it, accept it, appropriate it. You ought to appreciate it. Boy, I appreciate what God's done here. Brother Alan Kurt sitting over there, he travels, preaches. You asked him after service how many churches he goes to like this in a year. Asked him. I guarantee you they'll be on one hand. Is that not right, preacher? We ought to appreciate it. I'll tell you another thing, too. We ought to advertise it. I went with the family last night. You know where we went? Went to the top of the river. Y'all ever had them turnip greens and cornbread and them battered catfish and them battered onion rings? Did I tell y'all about the top of the river with them catfish and them coleslaw and cornbread? You know how long it took us to get down there with detours and road traffic? You know how high gas was? But that didn't matter. Can I go and tell y'all today, gas is too high to go to a dead church, and it's way too high to go to a bad restaurant. Give me five, brother driver. I can eat a hamburger in Bowden. Am I doing all right? So we want to help you in this good work. Look what he said, because the good hand of God's on me. Some of y'all won't like you. Some of you won't believe it. But every church is one preacher from going liberal. Brother Jake, I've never seen a church lean going liberal that ever come back. You say, you hard, preacher. No, I just stand in my ground. When it gets to that book over there, I don't push easy. I'll cry with you. I'll waller an altar with you. I'll hug Nick. I'll mess your coat up a snot nose. But I ain't a backing off what this book says. I ain't a backing up off what this Bible says. We ought to advertise it. You know what some of you young people ought to do? You ought to go to young people that ain't church and say, hey, won't you come to church with us Sunday? Say, now, preacher, he's a little loud, but you'll get used to that. He may come by your pew, but don't let it tear your nerves up. He ain't going to stand you up. Say, matter of fact, you just come to our church, you won't even know it got to be 12 o'clock. Boy, I'd hate to know I was sitting in some of these outfits, Brother Joe, and sitting there watching at my Mickey Mouse. Say, my Lord, he's got 7 more minutes. My Lord, there's 5 more minutes. Oh, Lord. Boy, we ought to advertise. These people dying and going to hell without Jesus by the droves. Most people don't think you can go to church and have fun. I'm having the best day of my week. I mean, it's scary how good I feel. It is real scary how good I feel this morning. Matter of fact, I'd love to just close this sermon right now again, but I can't. I go home, sit down, Megan, the tender-hearted one. She said, Daddy, why ain't you eating today? And then Macy, my abrasive one. Who is it, Daddy? Takes balance. God knows I love both of them. I don't love one more than the other. This is a good work. You ought to appreciate it. You ought to advertise. You ought to agonize over it. Have you heard what's going on? Some of you young'uns go to these white-haired saints of God sitting around this building and say, is it really what the preacher's saying? Go ask some of these saints of God on the back there that's been through this thing and back. Asked a few of them, what's changed? We better be agonizing over what God's give us and don't take it lightly. Don't you think the devil's got his sights set on this place? And I'm going to tell you what, he ain't got it set on the 10 ceilings and the chandelier. That don't bother him. Because there's a bunch of pretty churches. He's worried about what's sitting on the pews. Let me show you where he raises his head up. Watch what happened. The facts that's presenting, the focus that's productive, but the foe that is protesting. Chapter 2, verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceeding. There come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Devil ain't going to bother you when you just attend in church. But it's when you get in church. Hey, Sherry, if you come. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Horonite. Boy, the devil always raises his head up. Preacher, I want to ask you something. How old have you got to get for the devil quits bothering you? You're going to have to ask somebody older than me. And you're going to have to ask somebody older than the oldest one in this building. Because I'm going to tell you what. When you lift your hands in a good work, you watch it every time. He's going to try his best to discourage you. He's going to try to distract you. You know what the devil will say? Look at them. And this is what's amazing. He's a father of liars. Can't he tell a good lie? You know what he'll tell you? They don't love you at that church. They don't appreciate you at that church. Give me some Davids. I know who my daddy is. Now, I got to give this last point. Brother Eric's got a bench to sit on. You do too, so quit your whining. Look at the formation that is profounding. Verse number 18, let us rise up and build. You see, we can do so much more together. Have you ever noticed geese? You ever heard them? Guys in the deer stands, you ever heard? A lot of times we hear them flapping. We look up before we hear them. We'll hear them. You ever seen them? How many's ever seen geese fly in a V? Raise up your hand. Well, I'm glad I'm preaching in a country church. Did you know what happens? That lead goose, you know what he's doing, Brother Adam? He's knocking way out of the wind for them behind him. And this is what happens. When he gets tired, he shifts. And the other goes and takes his spot. And you know what they said? By going in that V formation together, they can fly 72% greater distance in that formation. We can't go far alone. Brother Darrell, don't say much. But I need him. We've got to do this thing together. You'll notice, I wish I had time, and I'm fixing to shut down. I know we got visitors. They ain't used to an hour preacher, but I don't apologize. That's what I am. I mean, I'm just getting stirred up in 30 minutes. But I promise you this, I'll try to be sure you have church before you leave. Some could drive a nail. Some could lay brick. Some can sing. Some can pray. Some can give more. But I tell you one thing, everybody in this building can do is pray. I'm talking about, if this is a good work, won't you agonize over it? This morning, y'all don't know what a blessing it is to have people. There's two men here early. I went in the prayer room. Can I tell you, this is always open. God can solve problems in there. God, just give me a thought. Maybe some of you men need something this morning. You go ease in there and get you a spot. Say, God, I wish you'd put something in me this morning. Won't you go in there and pick you out a chair and put your face in it and forget about it's 12:15 and say, God, I need something for my family. I need something for my life. Won't some of you ladies gather around this altar here this morning and realize what the God of heaven can do for you? There's nothing too hard for some of you here. You've never been saved. It'd be a great morning to call upon the Lord. Boy, wouldn't it be a great morning? God would do something for you in your life. Wouldn't it be wonderful if He'd do that for you? Saying, have you heard what's going on? Have you heard the shape we're in? But let me tell you, the good hand of our God is on us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.